Hello, I'm Dr. Scott Wattier.
And I'm Tommy Welling, and you're listening to the Fasting for Life podcast.
This podcast is about using fasting as a tool to regain your health, achieve ultimate wellness, and live the life you truly deserve.
Each episode is a short conversation on a single topic with immediate actionable steps. We cover everything from fat loss and health and wellness to the science of lifestyle design.
We started Fasting for Life because of how fasting has transformed our lives, and we hope to share the tools that we have learned along the way. Hey everyone, want to hop on real quick before we get into today's episode and let you know that our first 7-day fasting lifestyle challenge is indeed starting tomorrow. That's right, February 1st, perfectly placed after the holiday hangover and those New Year, New You campaigns have ended. We want to start fresh in the month of February with setting correct intention, putting some really good momentum behind our fasting efforts and changing that trajectory of your weight loss and your health goals. So we are super pumped to deliver you an incredible experience. And do not worry, you are not too late. About 25% of our folks are last minute Larrys, just like myself, waiting to the last minute to hop on board. But we want to see you on the inside. So go to the show notes, click the link for more information, jump in with us. We are getting started tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central. It's not too late. We'd love to see you on the inside. And now to today's episode. Hey everyone, welcome to the Fasting for Life podcast. My name is Dr. Scott Wattier, and I'm here as always with my good friend and colleague, Tommy Welling. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Hey Scott, how are you?
Doing fantastic, my friend. Excited for the conversation that we're going to have today. Mm-hmm. We've been doing last few handful of episodes as we ended 2022 into 2023 with intention. We've launched, we've got the new blueprint to fasting for fat loss that's out there. You can go to the show notes and grab that. Great feedback so far. But today's conversation is going to move away from the research a little bit because we've done a few of those episodes in a row here. And if you missed the last couple of episodes, please go back and listen, especially about the 4-hour and 6-hour time-restricted eating episode. Yeah, that huge episode, that 72 of the 82 participants were women. Fasting studies that involve women. Yes. So we're super pumped, want to keep the momentum going here. So today's conversation is going to be a little bit different. We're going to talk about the application of what a fasting success story can look like. And we're going to highlight one of our VIP members that has been just absolutely crushing it, not just from a fasting and scale standpoint, but more importantly, from between the ears. And that's where the real struggle lies for so many. So if you're new to the podcast, welcome in. Super excited to have you with us. If you are an OG, a fasting for life lifer, then we are super appreciative that you are continuing on this fasting lifestyle journey with us. If you'd like to hear more about our stories and where we started and why we now do this and have challenges and memberships and programs and resources and podcast episodes every single week, you can head back to episode 1 with a little grace, of course, because we were new, didn't know what we were doing, probably still don't to some degree. But we have fun with it. We want to be encouraging. We want you to walk away from each episode with one actionable thing that you can do. And I think today's conversation is going to be impactful, Tommy. So Jill here is an incredible success story. And I want to make sure that we leave today's episode with intention and actionable things that we can do. So you may hear a bunch of things that resonate with you today, but at the end of the episode, take just a few minutes and reflect back on, okay, what really resonated with me? Because we want to always, like we say, begin with the end in mind. We don't want to lose all the weight, do all the hard work, get our blood numbers, our metrics back, reverse our diabetes, and then 6 months later, give it all back. That's not, that sounds like zero fun, okay? Right. So we want to begin with the end in mind, right, Tommy?
Yeah, no slipping back into those old patterns or old clothes or old numbers on the scale, right?
The race ain't over.
Yeah, there's, you know, and that's one of those mindset shifts right there. Just coming away from the idea that there is a destination, like there is an end goal, there is an absolute, like, okay, whew, now I can take my foot off the gas. I'm done worrying about, you know, what I'm eating or how I'm eating or when I'm eating, you know, that kind of thing. Transitioning away from that, which is the old dieting on and off mentality, right? And then getting towards the lifestyle, which is, okay, what did I do to actually get there? What do I still need to continue to do to maintain those results? It's going to be a little bit different, but if I completely took my eye off the ball, really, really easy to kind of slip back. And some of Jill's posts here kind of highlighted some of that stuff, because one part of what she showed us around the holiday season was her graph of like what her weight journey looked like, right? And like hitting that low point over multiple years, and then started to take longer and longer to hit that same point. And then what to do about it whenever she finally got to those low, like that maintenance, that forever number again.
And that's the struggle for so many. It was for us too, Tommy. You know, in the beginning, it was doing all the hard work, white knuckling it, you know, willpower, won't power. I'm going to do it. I have this thing coming up. I gotta segment this. I'm going to start after New Year. I'm going to eat less, move more, count calories, track it, all of this stuff. And it just wasn't sticking. And, you know, my wife, who's run multiple half marathons, an actual full marathon, my own background with being on a virtual rowing team or an erging team, doing millions of meters over the course of 12 to 18 months, 2.5 million meters, right? Lots, 30 half marathons in the month of December into January. There's a special crazy bear challenge thing, right? So the idea is like, once you finish the race, and my wife, like once she finished the marathon, which she says was, other than labor, one of the hardest things she's ever done, she had to walk to the booth to get her medal and then walk to the car and then figure out how to walk the next day, right? Because she was sore and it was painful. So when you get to the end of the race, the journey doesn't end. It's a constant building of the new you, the new identity, stepping into those habits. And more importantly, we want to encourage you that we have to act like it's already happened, right?
Yep.
We have to like tell our brains, the subconscious mind, that we're already there. We see ourselves at our forever number with confidence around food, not having to stress and worry and guilt and shame, that we have the ability and we know that we have the skill set and the application of those skills to be able to go throughout our life feeling good, living a good quality of life, being in control of our weight and our health. So Jill's journey starts all the way back years ago, and she shares that original image with us where it goes back 5 Januaries, right? Mm-hmm. So if you can picture this, as it comes into focus, it starts off at one of her highest weights, right? And then it plummets over the course. It, interestingly enough, it was always around December into January, right? That first month, right?
Who can relate, right?
Yeah. She actually started a little sooner, which was great, and not waiting until January 1st. But you see these big dips getting down to her lowest weight. And then, interestingly enough, over the course of 10 months, 10 and a half, 11 months, it rose all the way back up to almost where she started. Mm-hmm. And then re-intention, re-engage, focus, willpower, right? Okay, here we go. Back down again the following year, again, same time, December into January, January into February, and then boom, it slowly ticks up. So we've gone through two cycles now over the course of 2 years. To your point, Tommy, this third one, same pattern started, right? We got the peak, we've got a plateau, and then that third year, it starts to go down again. But what didn't happen this time, it stopped in February or March.
Yeah.
And then it went right back up and surpassed the highest starting point, as she shared over the course of these 4 years. Then she found fasting.
Yeah.
And this initial share from back in October, that we're going to share some of her talking points and kind of talk through them, so you can see what a successful journey looks like. Because so far you're listening to that going, well, that's not really long-term success. Begin with the end in mind, right? No, lots of short-term wins, lots of feeling good. Say, hey, you lost weight, you look great. But then boom, here I am again doing, must just be me. Here I am. Yeah. Can't, you know, woe is me. I'm doing the same thing again, right? Where it cuts off here visually, and we'll pick it up in a minute on the most recent update that she shared on December 31st of 2022.
Yeah.
So October 13th of 2022 is where this first section cuts off, right? And she shares that she's paid back an insane amount of calorie debt, right? And what we mean by that is an insane amount of weight, 34.4 pounds for her. She started at she's not a big person. She's a small individual, a petite individual, right? So it is a big percentage of body weight. Okay.
Yeah.
And she says, I'm feeling pretty emotional this evening because I found one of my apps that has tracked my weight since 2014. So she didn't share all the way back, but she shared, you know, 22, 21, 20, 19, and part of 18. And only one other day in at least 8.5 years have I weighed what I weighed today.
Wow.
When I look at the graph, I see supreme daily struggle.
Oh, man. That hurts.
You can feel it.
Yeah.
Right? Living it. Been there. Still have moments when life stress happens and kids don't sleep and not feeling well and sickness and travel and moving and insert reason, right, for the struggle. And she shares that I can remember the mental anguish from those years. It is so different from the feeling I have when I'm fasting.
Wow.
That's big. So grateful for finding the pot. She just stumbled upon us. We shared our story. Now she's sharing hers. And we want the same thing to happen for you as the listener, that you can. You're not broken. You can. Okay. And she then took the leap to join a challenge. It felt like a huge jump out of my comfort zone. She became part of the VIP coaching group as well.
Yeah.
But it's been the best thing ever for my health. My goal is to be, this is where I love, she puts her goal. My goal is to be one of the people who can stay in the healthy weight range for life. I want to be independent, active, amazing person when I'm very, very old, still able to do all the things I love. She gives us a shout out and a thank you, a shout out to the group, a shout out to the podcast. And this accomplishment wouldn't be impossible without you slash us. And I want to give you the shout out, Jill, is that your ability to see the forest through the trees, right? And not be stuck like myopically in the moment, continually making those struggling decisions every single day, those emotional decisions in the moment that isn't serving your long-term goal. You are a true success story well before you found us, because what you didn't do is you didn't stop. If you're going through hell, don't stop. You don't want to live there.
Keep the hell out of there.
Going. Yes. Run. I like what you did there. Yeah. Keep going. Get out of there as fast as you can. And she continued over those years. Now, there's a little bit of angst here in this post as well. That is, okay, I've been here before.
Right. Yeah. That's what I was thinking whenever I first saw this visual. Right. It was like, oh, the fear, the little anxiety starts coming, because it's like, okay, I've been here at the low before. And I've seen what can happen when I take my eye off the prize, when I take my eye off the ball. And again, that can happen very easily when I'm doing something very different from how I can actually sustain long-term, you know, eating behaviors, behavioral patterns, because I use a specific method to lose the weight and it doesn't feel natural to continue with it. I'm done with the special powders or the special meal preps or the long-term caloric
fixes,
restriction.
Yeah. The boot camps.
I did it. I don't want to do it anymore. And the race is over, right? I won. I'm at the finish line here, not doing it anymore. But then you can see the natural progression back up, you know, of the weight, because the method is completely gone. So it does take some time for it to come back on. But like, how do we avoid that trap right there? Like that's insanity.
And it's something that we talk a lot about, is the habits that got you the results are the same habits that will sustain those results, but they have to be applied in a different manner.
Yeah.
It's a situational thing. There's a personalization and a customization to weight loss and health. There are principles and physiological principles that happen when you fast or you caloric restrict, right? There are things that your body is going to do, getting into ketosis, increasing your fat burning, decreasing your cravings, all of that stuff, right? The physiology of fasting, there's so many amazing benefits. BDNF, increased GABA, increased happy hormones, balancing of hunger cues, balancing in of reproductive hormones, thyroid hormones, testosterone, all of this stuff can be affected by insulin and fasting in a positive way. So the one thing I want to pull out of this and then transition to the second share that she shared at the end of the year, so 3 months forward, 2.5 months forward, now we're at about a 3-month update. And this one takeaway from this first thing is I can remember the mental anguish from those years, the fear of going back, the fear of giving it back, the fear of being on that cusp again. And she says, I can remember the mental anguish from those years, so different from the feeling I have when I'm fasting.
Wow.
That feeling is what we want you to focus on. So in the moment, right, we have a habit loop reward system. Mm-hmm. And we always try to change the action at the end, the thing that we don't want to do, the action.
Yeah.
Hey, toddler. Don't spill on the couch. Don't eat on the couch. Well, what's going to happen? Well, I want to eat on the couch and I'm absolutely going to squeeze my pouch too hard and it's going to erupt all over the place. It's like, don't do that thing. Well, that's the only, they don't hear the don't. It's the only thing that they're going to do. So in the moment, you need to interpret and acknowledge the cue, the starting of the process that leads to the behavior.
Yeah, if we don't do that, we're aiming at the wrong target. We're not going to be able to short circuit it like that. What is the cue? And then that takes a little bit of reflection. And that's the point where we can also have some cognitive dissonance where I don't have the confidence while I'm going through the process. If let's say the weight started coming off too quickly, or let's say that I've dieted a whole bunch of times in the past, and then all of a sudden, like, it's working, it can feel very like, what's going on here? And it can induce some fear, concern, and then some hesitation, which sometimes can lead to even some self-sabotage at that point.
Yeah, that's the clashing of cognitions, like, two or more thoughts, they're contradicting each other. Wait, everybody else says it doesn't work, and I'm crazy, and I'm starving, and why are you starving? No, no, it's working for you.
Maybe my family was right.
And you get back into that negative loop learning and the dieting, dieting kind of construct once again, and the woe is me, and all of that stuff that comes, that guilt and the shame and the good food and bad food and all of those things.
And then the scale just confirms it. Okay. It's taken up just like I thought it would. Just like the toddler, they spilled it on the couch, just like you thought they would.
Right. So that feeling is something that we want to tap into in the moment, the decision to not stick to the plan. That is a willpower or won't power, a restriction omission type mindset. And discipline comes from the, I don't have to discipline myself into eating the sweets.
Right.
I don't need to discipline myself into having the extra glass of wine. I don't need to discipline discipline is doing the things that we don't want to do. Delaying that gratification, building that habit pattern.
I don't have to remind myself to go sit on the beach,
Right. Yeah. Oh man, I got to really discipline myself into going on that vacation.
Right. Dang it, Scott, stay focused on sitting on the beach. Yeah.
And here's the thing. If you don't hate it, you won't change it. So there's this thing that we're going to be, until that pain, of staying the same lessens, then you're never going to make that change. If you don't hate it, you won't change it. And then the decisions we make create the discipline we want, which then creates the delight and the life that we truly are deserving of. Wow. So as we transition into the new year and we're ending, this is last day of the month.
Yeah.
Here we are. A month's gone by.
Yep.
So Jill's update at the end of the year added some perspective that I want to unpack, Tommy. So she's now in maintenance. Oh, just an incredible. Love and appreciate you, Jill. If you hear this, and hopefully, I know you listen, so you will. Your dedication, your doing the work, your encouragement to others has just been absolutely incredible. All the way from back from the beginning when you started, with FFL and joined that challenge and stepped out of your comfort zone in 2022, in June of 2022. So she says, if you're curious about what maintenance can look like during the holidays, she says, I started in June. Then she joined the coaching, the VIP, lost 40 pounds, and now it seems like a good time to reflect. So she's actually decreased even another 6 from her update in October through the holidays.
Wow, nice.
Into maintenance. So now she's at a newer low, right?
Yeah.
And looking back, it didn't feel hard to do. Now, that's called perspective shift. I'm sure in the moment it was hard. Yeah, you said that. You told us about the daily struggle. You shared that, okay? Yeah.
Right.
how quickly we forget. But it has definitely gotten easier. Ask someone who's ran 10 marathons versus one. I'm sure the first one was worse. The first time I did a half marathon time trial on the rower, it was awful. And then I was able to actually get better at it. And it got a little bit easier. Not that all of them were easy, but it got easier, right?
Sure.
So
yeah.
She says, wisdom here, an OG, with repetition and consistency, hormones get balanced and cravings ease up. I learned about drinking plenty of water, using trace minerals, pink salt, and staying busy to prevent the boredom eating pattern. When I say that it is easier, I'm thinking how much better I love myself for being healthy and how hard it was when I was overweight and unhealthy, eating junk that made me, here it is again, feel so bad.
Wow. Yeah. She knew it made her feel bad, but it made her feel bad, but she still couldn't break that loop
right
in the moment, right?
Fasting is powerful because to her point, it balances those things out.
Yeah.
You're not denying, you're delaying, you're compartmentalizing your eating. Mm-hmm. We have an overconsumption, over convenience issue, over processing issue here in the States. We've talked about it. Research shows it. One of the most recent food things that everybody's talking about is that green, yellow, and red chart that came out listing the nutritional value and how much and how frequent you should include certain foods in your diet.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait, hold on.
Frosted, flip it upside down.
Yeah, there was like cereals, candy-filled cereals above meat and eggs. And I'm going, wait a minute. It's just backwards. So that's the world that we live in. So here now we're operating outside of that. So when I say it's easier, I'm thinking how much better I love myself for being healthy and how hard it was eating junk and eating foods that made me feel so bad. So here's the next one. I've gotten comfortable with weighing only once a week. Now that didn't happen overnight.
Yeah, that's a tough pattern to break sometimes.
We do an entire day in our challenge about when the scale fails. Not if, when.
When.
Yeah. When. Okay. Because we like to use it as a tool for lashings.
Yep.
And if it gives you the reward, then you now loosen up a little bit on that day. And we've heard this from thousands and thousands of people, and I've felt it myself. Or if it doesn't reward you, ask for it.
Watch out.
Just open yourself up for slippage.
Yeah. Can I eat a little bit of my feelings right now? Because I don't feel great. Yeah.
So no more beating myself up over every uptick in the scale. She's going to drop a bomb here in just a second. I had to learn to live for other signs of health. Since at maintenance, there's no big rush of excitement to keep the scale going down.
Ooh, yeah,
the marathon's over. I got my medal.
Yeah.
I'm never running again. That was me because I hate running.
Just that one medal. It was just that one medal I wanted to put on the wall.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah. So I want it to stay steady, and with the right choices of foods, it does. I'll add here, I chose 135 as my goal weight, but my body chose around 125 to 130. I got there and continued to go down, and now I've leveled off. And she shared another chart here. So she says, here's the bomb. When I started last June, I weighed daily. And here's a kicker, just for perspective, zooming out, beginning with the end in mind. And I weighed daily, and it had 15 weight gains in the first month.
Oh, wow.
But she lost weight that first month.
Yeah. Still 50% of the time. You're getting
50%
in the morning.
Of the time it didn't serve you.
How's that set up your day?
Ugh. Right. Very tough to keep going like that. She said, I switched to weekly and I was much happier, but I had to learn to trust myself to follow the plan and keep learning. Everyone here has invested time, money, and effort into it. So you owe it to yourself to get all that you can. She's speaking specifically about the challenges in the VIP coaching. So, Tommy, here's a few key things that she does now that she's reached maintenance. And by the way, sustaining at it for the first time. Her chart, she shares another visual. It's bottomed out and it is flat, like a plane in Africa.
Yeah.
It is flat. There is no elevation. Okay. It is flat. And this is going on months now.
Yeah.
So unlike the previous image that we tried to depict in an audio medium, and hopefully it landed, is that she had these big drops and then these slow increases, big drops, slow increases where she'd go from highest weight to lowest weight, highest weight to lowest weight. And then it didn't happen that third time, right?
Yeah.
It just kept going up and tried to go down and went back up and tried to go down and went back up. And she never got back down to that low weight. This time she's sustaining. And here's the few key things. Eat real food. Drink water with trace minerals every morning. Alcohol only in the nutrition opportunity and limit. Always set my timer. Always. The same habits that got her the progress in the beginning are the same habits now that you have to do. There are certain foundational ones that can't go away.
Yeah. You can just lose them all. Yep.
Right. Keep a time-restricted nutrition opportunity. It may vary at times, 2, 4, 6, 8 hours, but I always have a fast of several hours. Mm-hmm. That is undoing the dieting mindset right there. It's a lifestyle. Yep. Listen to the live events, replays, podcasts, and interact in the group. So she is having the encouragement and the accountability piece. And now she's transitioning into sustainability, where she's now becoming a leader and sharing and encouraging and helping others get through the stuff that she shared with us, Tommy.
Yeah. And I love that because, you know, every time she hit those lows in the past, she would always feel like she was kind of clawing her way uphill.
Right.
And then the weight starts to come back on because it didn't feel intuitive or sustainable to actually maintain those things. It felt like she was doing something that she really didn't want to be doing for a temporary amount of time and then can't wait to stop doing those things. And then kind of live my life. I haven't been living my life. I put it off and now I'm ready to go live my life. But so like part of what we need through this process and especially through a longer term weight loss journey is we need those times where we can like it needs to take some time, probably a bit longer than we'd like. If you've ever heard the story of Angus Barbieri and doing like, you know, a 382-day fast or whatever it was, and just going like, well, can I just fast the weight off? But then like he was doing it to avoid dying, literally.
Right.
And the fact of the matter is anything that we do in like a drastic or very accelerated pace, it tends to not stick. Like it might if you're on the brink of death, but you know, hopefully most
if
people
if the leverage is great enough.
There, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And then you were forced to, right? Like you could do anything if you were just absolutely forced to, but in order to do something and then to get used to new habits and to heal my relationship with food and to lessen those dopamine hits for some of the highly craveable foods that got me into my position in the first place, those take a lot of time and like confidence to be gained. So like getting the process started and then having the perspective that long term, this will look a little bit different. So I need to be making some adjustments along the way. So it's not just all this like 180 degree turn when I get there, right?
Right, right. And Jill has good perspective now, you know, growing through it and learning through it over the weeks to months, right? Now we're going to be talking years here soon again. But on the other side, right, on the maintenance side, not on the yo-yo side, she has leveled up her skill set and understanding on a lot of different things, right? And when she talks about, you know, I don't track what I eat now, but I used to.
Yeah.
I have a rough idea of how much is in my eating window. It's usually around my total daily energy expenditure.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Some of you are going, I came to fasting, so I don't have to worry about that stuff. Yeah, you're right.
Right.
Yeah. 100%. This is how you get here. Sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less, but it balances. Balance, balance, balance. I dine in restaurants once a week, sometimes more. Sweets used to be the bedrock of my consumption, but now they just don't taste worth it anymore.
Yeah.
She didn't make a decision, I'm going to restrict all sweets. She literally changed her physiology and her mindset over time, gradually. Yeah.
Over time. Yep. That's
and
key.
Now she's like, yeah, the juice isn't worth the squeeze. I no longer have to route myself away from the Dairy Queen on the way home from work.
Yep.
I used to do that.
Yeah, me too.
So many stories of people, right? The pre-dinner dinner.
Yep.
Right?
Can
the pre-meal.
Yeah. Can I just get something in here that sounds really good right now?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right? The gas station. We talk about it. We had a whole running joke for a while of like the gas station hot dogs.
Right.
Right? If physical hunger is true, then would you eat a bowl of broccoli until you were satisfied?
Yeah.
If it's truly physical hunger, right? Yeah. So I often have a couple squares of very dark chocolate to close my nutrition opportunity. Great. There's benefits in that. I still eat some carbs, but mostly from things like legumes and healthy, unrefined processed sources. I make excellent sourdough bread now. So when I have a slice of it, I enjoy it, but I don't overdo it. I tend to choose foods I eat for their purpose to me nutritionally rather than to satisfy a craving, right? Negative loop, dopamine hit, not going to get you there. Not going to serve you in the long term. Or I choose foods that I know will carry me through a longer fast, right? So strategically putting foods into the window that are going to increase satiety, increase ketosis, and allow your body to maintain that energy balance.
So we've been talking about the cue, action, the reward, and then the short term versus the longer term thinking here. And like a couple of these things really, really hit me like that too, because when you start to take something like Jill enjoyed the sweets and she enjoyed carbs and, you know,
who doesn't?
Like I know they should be part of what we're eating, unless your body.
You have to enjoy life. Okay. You can't, yeah, right. Don't be a robot. It's not going to work.
But taking something that she really enjoyed and going, yeah, you know what? I'm going to make it in-house. Okay. Now I get to control the ingredients a bit.
Yep.
And hey, maybe it's going to cost me a little bit more, or
we
it's
going to
take
pizza.
A little bit more time. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can control the ingredients, but also I know that I'm going to have the opportunity for it. And I also know I'm going to enjoy the heck out of it, because it's going to taste awesome. And I put the work into it. It took a little bit longer, but that's like a built-in delayed gratification right there that serves us for the longer term thinking, that provides the fuel for maintenance as well.
Yep. 100%. So let's wrap up her journey here. So looking forward, right? She's made a commitment to continue to learn and be in the coaching environment, and she's going to help solidify the ability to maintain. So there's still a little hint of, maybe.
Yeah, sure.
It's a little different. New identity, right? New behavioral patterns.
I'm just still outlined. Getting to know this person.
Yeah. All right. So because I want to be active and feel good doing the things I love in my older years, here's the kicker. I'm getting a CGM, which is a continuous glucose monitor.
Nice. At maintenance.
At maintenance.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Getting a DEXA scan making resistance exercise a priority to build muscle.
Nice.
Challenging myself to make my labs even better to dazzle my doctor the year ahead. Right?
Dazzle my doctor. That's great.
That is so cool. I love that phrase. And then she just says a shout out and a thank you to the group and everyone involved on our journey. And
thank you, Jill.
Cool. Just incredible.
That's a cool share.
Right. It really is. And that's why we wanted to highlight it, especially now as we're coming up on the end of January. We're coming up on the end of the influx of folks into the gym that are attempting to restart after the holidays, the holiday hangover, the new year, new you. You notice all of the marketing campaigns and the before and afters and the gyms make the majority of their, I've heard this, I don't know if I've ever like documented it in the
fact checked it. Yeah,
fact checked it. Thank you. But that they make the majority of their income in the first couple of months of the year, right? We know the statistics show that, 97% of resolutions, even if you ask people now, they're like, I don't do that. Right.
Because what a waste of time. Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't set your goal properly. You don't have the system to support it, right? And you're not enjoying the process. You know the pain and suffering, that used to happen. You're like, I'm just not going to do that anymore. Or we do believe in goal setting. Very intentional goal setting, and then having a strategic, easy system to follow that allows those habits to build like Jill did. But now we're about to start. Tomorrow's February 1st. And that is why we put our first 7-day fasting challenge at the end of January.
Yeah.
Right? So if you are resonating, what'd you say?
I said, get out of here, January.
Yeah, get out of here, January.
I love January, but it's cool to like turn the page and start something new that's not just connected to the new year.
It's your birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just realized it. Yeah. Like, of course you love it. It's literally your birthday.
Happy birthday.
Hey, in real time.
I appreciate it. Yeah.
That's so cool. I was just like, wait a minute. It's January 17th. I had a notification on my calendar. I must not have looked at it. That's so anyway, I know I'm not the first or be the last today, but happy birthday in real time.
Appreciate that. Yeah.
30 something Whatever. Years. We're just yeah, yeah. We're not no, even
39.
Saying. Okay, carry
yeah,
39. On.
39. Yep.
Yeah, 39. Okay, great. Welcome to the club. Yeah. 39 right, forever.
Appreciate it.
Yep. It's cool. Welcome to the club. Anyway,
it's a good
So
deal.
Tomorrow is the start of our first 7-day fasting lifestyle challenge, and that is where Jill started as well. And so many of our success stories start there. So I want to encourage you that if you are ready, if you've grabbed the blueprint or you had the Fast Start Guide or the new blueprint to fasting for fat loss, and you're like, okay, I've got the plan. Now I've got the plan.
Yeah.
Okay, but now you have to act on the plan. So if you want to accelerate that learning curve and fail forward faster in a fun, encouraging, uplifting, empowering, kick-ass kind of environment kind of way, then tomorrow, this is your sign, okay? I don't know if you're brand new to the podcast, you've been listening for years. I love that we can say years now, right?
I know.
Consistency, right? I just love it. So if that is you, if you're ready to accelerate that, I'm going to encourage you to go to the show notes, click the link, and register for the first 7-day fasting lifestyle challenge of 2023.
Yeah.
So
that's cool.
So many things you could resonate through this episode, Tommy. Let's wrap up today's with just one or two main takeaways on what we should focus on between the ears from Jill's story. And then I want to encourage y'all to take massive action and just jump in like Jill did. Step out of your comfort zone. Join us. You get live us live every single day in the group. We usually go 45, 60, 90 minutes sometimes. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. Everything's on replay. You have access. We do watch parties. You know, we got people listening from across the globe. It doesn't matter where you live. We will get the message to you.
We're
You've
coaching
got support
in the group.
Systems. We've got Q&As. We've got coaching. 3 to 5 minutes a day of like actual homework, action steps, taking action. If you listen to the beginning of our podcast,
there'll be habits.
We're going to have a conversation. We want you to take away one actionable thing from every single episode. So the action today is, if you're resonating and you saw and felt Jill's story, we want to encourage you to join us tomorrow, Tommy. A couple of between the ear things as we wrap up today.
Yeah, between the ears. I mean, just the fact that when you look at this story, this like resonates with me. One of the questions that we get most often is like, okay, well, why do you guys do challenges? We do challenges right. because
and what the heck
of,
is it? No, it's not right. a 7-day fast.
Right. We do challenges because of stories like this, because this is how we were able to help people like Jill and like
and
you listening.
Ourselves.
Yeah. And like after we help ourselves, like they say, put your oxygen mask on first, right? So you can help the people around you. So once we found our oxygen mask, then we said, how do we help more people put on their oxygen mask? So it starts in an environment that is like so encouraging like that, gets the momentum started. But then we also have to keep a strategic eye on the future, on like the long-term sustainability of that too. And so that's part of the mindset that I pick up from Jill's story here too.
Yeah. And I mean, that was just like, dog barking is, they're excited. Okay. The excitement is palatable. Yeah. It is real.
Oh,
you mentioned
challenge
environment. Yeah. It's like, whoa, we're crazy. Hey, Amazon didn't show up today. So it's not on my end for once.
I remember the podcast. They're singing happy birthday.
The podcast episode. There was like foundation where they were drilling concrete out. So I'm like, on podcast record day, come on.
Of course.
All right.
Of course.
So a couple of things here. Go ahead and grab the blueprint, the new fasting for fat loss blueprint. Check the show notes. Click the link for the fasting challenge that starts tomorrow. Push into it. If you're thinking, I don't know, when was the right time? It's last minute. Yes.
Yeah.
Dive in. We have the majority of our folks sign up in these last 48 hours because if they are last minute Larrys like myself or procrastinating Pats, then this is how we operate. But this is when you step out of your comfort zone, just like Jill's story, you can make an incredible, incredible change and your trajectory can change with one simple decision. So hopefully you guys got some things to think about on today's episode. We hope to see you inside of the first 7-day fasting lifestyle challenge that starts tomorrow. Tommy, as always, thank you for the conversation, sir. And we'll talk soon.
Thank you. Bye. So you've heard today's episode and you may be wondering, where do I start? Head on over to thefastingforlife.com and sign up for our newsletter, where you'll receive fasting tips and strategies to maximize results and fit fasting into your day-to-day life.
While you're there, download your free fast start guide to get started today. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to leave us a 5-star review, and we'll be back next week with another episode of Fasting for Life.